Right now on VFN TV, Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point, is asked the question, who or how do you see God? Very important answer. Also, we're going to hear about the digital wise. With all this digital technology coming into our lives and our family's life, we're going to hear how we can prepare a safe zone for our family and our children right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
When you think about millennials, there's so many things being said about millennials, but you think about millennials, but somebody that's 25 years old, for example, you think about, you know, what are they doing? How are they impacting the world? Where is their stand with God and society? And then you think about Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, has such an amazing viewpoint on life. He's well-read, but also he loves Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. I know it's very exciting. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
So, you know, you think about it that, you know, especially this political atmosphere, they love to be able to take people and marginalize them and put you into a group or
label you real quick.
Category. Right? And I would love to start a movement, if you want to start it, go for it, where everybody in America is described as one thing first, American. So it doesn't matter what comes after that, whatever labels you want, it's fine. But the first thing we should call ourselves is American. But the interesting thing is that people are calling us everything but Americans. And at the very end of that, possibly, if it ever gets brought up, you're called Americans. And the thing is, it's like e pluribus unum. Though we're many, we're one. And unifying effort should be the key for all of us. And you think about, you know, one of the big founding realities of America was people who actually were Christians. They found God, Judeo-Christian foundation. And so when you see young people today that are hearing, you know, leading, like Charlie Kirk is amazing, young, 25 years old.
He
started Turning Point USA.
That's right.
I think it was in eighth grade, he was reading stuff like Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radical.
Oh,
he was reading one particular author, the financial economist, Freeman.
Milton Freeman.
I mean, you know, it was like, oh, my goodness. And he started realizing there was other viewpoints in life.
Wow.
And so he really loves America. He really loves to, you know, the Constitution, but they love to marginalize people in different areas. So the big question, people are calling in on the Candace Owens show and they're asking different questions. And one question they wanted to ask him was, you know, how do you see God? And immediately he begins to respond by the typical thing is like, oh, here it goes, because I'm about to separate myself and I have so much gratitude for Charlie Kirk that would stand up and not apologize for
That's
his
right.
faith, and that he stood there and he knew, even if it separated him from everybody else, that he would stand solid with his faith. And the question I would ask, you know, I mean, you think about this too, is that, you know, who is God to you, right? When we ask people, right?
Absolutely. It's one of the big things we ask, because you can say a lot of things, but you have to answer, you know, what are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Who is he? Is he your personal Lord and Savior? Or is he a carpenter? Or is he a historical figure?
Right.
You know, for me, he's my Lord and Savior.
Amen. And so Charlie Kirk's asked that question, and so they've answered a lot of other questions, you know, whatever those questions are. But this particular question has really stood out to us, and he's 25. He's this solid. He's this clear in who he is. I want to encourage you, to challenge you to respond with your faith the same way that Charlie did. As a matter of fact, let's join Charlie Kirk, the Candace Owens Show.
So I'm an evangelical Christian. So what does that mean? People get freaked out when they hear that. Like, oh boy, I liked them up until now. I could see the YouTube comments. They're signing up. You're like at 17:14. You lost me there, Charlie. Like, you know, I get that all the time. So what's an evangelical Christian? Okay, first and foremost, we believe in a God. Okay, maybe people can agree with that.
Just signing off now.
Right now they're all gone. Right? You believe in the voodoo man? Okay, so what? We believe in a God that is ubiquitous. That is omniscient and all-powerful. What does that mean? That means God is everywhere. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God created us to be today. That we as human beings are actually first and foremost spiritual beings. Our chemistry is all just made by God, but we are actually spirits. I believe in a God. I believe in the Bible. I believe it's the greatest book ever to exist. From 5,000 years of history, over 34 authors, 66 books. And then I believe God came in human form. And this is why I'm a Christian, evangelical Christian, that God came down as a gift for us broken humans to be able to accept this gift, and his son, Jesus Christ. And that is, as talked about in the Bible, it created the Trinity. That God is the same God, but think of it as the analogy I use. Think of it as water. So water can be liquid form, water can be in our air, and water can be an ice cube. That's God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Same God, three different parts. And so Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, who first and foremost taught us how to live, but secondly and most importantly, he was a gift to us. That if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then we can have eternal life, and we are actually reborn. That something happens to your spirit, and that you are go through a process where you become actually a different person. I know this might sound so bizarre and so weird for people to hear, but I've seen it happen in my own life and for other people. And so why does all this matter? And what we're talking about, we have to realize that there's something bigger than ourselves.
Right.
And I believe, and I see it, that people that are born-again Christians or people like Dennis Prager that are Bible-believing, Torah-observing, you know, Jews, they approach life in a much different way that maybe my opinion and what I do is not the most important thing in the world. Maybe I want to do good, not just feel good.
Right.
And so anyway, that's a short version of what I believe and why I believe it. And some people disagree vehemently with it, but that's what makes, you know, discourse so much fun.
Right.
So.
I think that there's something that you and I have touched upon privately and publicly at times. And it's about, you say, we're all on this quest for some form of spiritualism. I think in our truest form, we do believe that there is something bigger than us. It's the reason why I check my horoscope, right? If you say someone's going to read your palm, like you go. You don't really know if that person can
it's
read
a
your palm.
It's a search for meaning,
but there's
right?
a search for meaning that we all sort of, we're interested in that.
Yes.
And yet, when you say, this might be weird, you kept saying that, right? This might be weird. Some of you guys watching, you're doing that because right now, the public discourse, you're not allowed to talk about God.
No,
you?
And so
you're
I'm actually, I'm actually, you're right. And so to kind of the left has been so militant. I have to always like preface this because
right.
I'm afraid I'm going to get deplatformed or discredited by saying
about
these things.
I mean,
yes.
isn't that think about how
Which I shouldn't even have to say
you
that.
You shouldn't have to say that. Yes. You should be able to openly talk about God, but we've gotten to this place in society when you've got The View and Joy Behar, who is mocking Jesus Christ, laughing
yes.
at Jesus Christ, making fun of Mike Pence for being faithful to his wife. Is
be
that
faithful to his wife.
And believing in something other than what? Government.
Yeah, but
right?
exactly.
Government.
And this is so important.
Celebrities as the gods, right?
Right. The philosopher kings of our times are,
right.
you know, the people, the gatekeepers of Hollywood.
The idolatry that takes place in Hollywood is a sin.
It really is. And so the two things, the atheist left, which is, it's I repeat myself, because most people on the left are atheists.
They are.
Because they turn government into their God. They
yes.
turn government into their church. We've talked about this a lot. But the idea that man is nothing more than a composition of particles.
That's so powerful when you think about it. As Charlie Kirk is sharing his testimony, he's 25 years old. He's that clear in who he is and who God is and his need for a Savior and the 5,000-year history of the Bible. That it's just so amazing to see that. I got a question for you. I mean, how do you see God?
Hmm.
Are you that clear? Wouldn't you like to be that confident and that clear? It's like he says, I personally know it myself because I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's why I know that. I accepted the gift. He's talking about Jesus. And you can make that decision now. You know, it happens by faith. It's not like you all of a sudden you mentally know something. It's by faith you receive what God's done, exactly like Charlie described it. You can make the same decision that he made, that I made, that John made, that many, many millions of people have made to accept the gift of God, that God gave his son as a gift for us to live a sinless life and to pay the price, to die for our sins in our place. And on the third day after being dead, he was raised from the dead and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. He did that because he loves you. He has a plan for your life. Listen, it's all going to make sense. Life's going to make sense. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Why? Because he's the author of life. Everything was created by him and for him. He holds everything together. He's just waiting for this moment for you to have this knowledge of knowing Jesus is Lord. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. And he says it in Acts chapter 17 in the book in the Bible. He says, I'm here all along. I'm right there with you. I'm just waiting to see if you'll reach out and touch me. Though I'm not far from you. Maybe this is your moment. Just like Charlie made that decision. Just like, I believe it looks like Candace made that decision. All you have to do is accept the Lord into your heart. As a matter of fact, I can pray with you now. I can pray with you now. We want to pray together right now with me. I would just, if that's you, you want to make that decision, I want you to pray with me right now. Just repeat this prayer. I'll say part of the prayer, and you say part of the prayer, that repeat me. But also believe in what you're saying. You know what? And the Lord accepts that. And he begins a journey, a walk with you that changes your life. Just like well, you see what's happening in our life. You see what happened in Charlie's life. If that's you, I want you to pray with me right now. Dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That you came.
To earth.
To live a sinless life. To die on the cross. For my sins. You are the gift of God. And I receive you right now. As my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, Lord. Where I've sinned against you. Where I've sinned against others. I want to be all yours. Come and live in my heart. I ask this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed this prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. We have so much. We're so excited for you. It says all of heaven celebrates when this particular moment happens. And we have some information for you. You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where we shared our experiences, how we came to know God as well. But we have some things we'd like to be able to give you. You also can comment below, and you can write to us or call us and let us know you made this decision. We're so excited for you. Listen, Charlie didn't just end up this way. It took a journey. Once we made the decision, we began to walk with God, and he taught us, and he began to open our eyes and show us things, and we began to read the Bible, and we began to abide with Jesus. And we talk about that. We have a free plan for you at iabide.org. You can begin your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is so exciting. Welcome to the family of God. John, what's next?
Wow, so powerful. Listen, we get right back from this break. We're going to be talking about how you can protect yourself and your family from this huge digital divide that's happening with so many gadgets and connections and devices. We're going to be hearing from Andrew Crouch, as he just wrote a book about being technologically wise. You don't want to miss it. Join us. We get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith in what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator. I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people. But they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We'll send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600 yeah. Wisdom nuggets in addition to the success strategies. It's yours now at vfnkb.com. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world
and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is Prudent Preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to
the digital divide. You think about all the digital games and entertainment and streaming that's taking place, you know, in our culture today. It's amazing. It's made from O's and ones. You think, imagine these O's and ones all over the place, zeros and ones. They're running our toaster, our car, our communication, our entertainment, all of our business sector is running.
They're calling
banks.
The Internet of Things, right?
Internet of Things. And, you know, you think about it. How do you have children and family in an ocean of water that you're trying to keep them from getting wet?
No doubt.
Right?
And this is a situation that no other previous generation has had to deal with. This
right.
is a new technology,
phenomenon,
new phenomenon that we have to deal with, parenting children and young folks on how not to get sucked into this technology that everybody is using.
You know, people, you know, that are born into this, they think, oh, this has been here forever.
Yeah.
But really, Facebook was a couple of hours ago. Google was 2 hours ago. I mean, these companies are brand new.
Brand new.
But it's rapidly moving quickly. I mean, games used to be in a box, and now it's a digital game. They're talking about driverless cars. I mean, it's just rapidly increasing. And the thing about it is that this present generation, past generations are trying to raise this present generation who might not understand the technology, what's happening, and if one of their family members are struggling in their addiction to it, they're not going to tell you, you know, by the way, I'm logging in at the middle of the night.
Well, most people don't even know that you can actually be addicted to these things. In fact, that's how they're designed. They're designed so that you can be addicted and stay longer periods of time, losing almost, you know, you can lose a lot of lifetime.
Well, you think about it, too, is that, you know, addiction, and I'm not a doctor on this, but addiction, there's some sort of reward that someone gets every time they do a drug or they do a behavior. And every time, for example, if you do a kind act, oxytocin supposedly gets released, and it's like a feel-good hormone. Well, there's another particular hormone that gets released. I can't think of it at the moment right now.
Dopamine.
Which is kind of feel like the same feeling, but it's not the right way to for your body to react. That's probably more of something, a fight and flight type thing. So people think it's the same natural thing, but it's not, because then you have to actually begin to medicate or begin to do some sort of addictive behavior. Well, in these kind of digital technology, whether it's not real, it's an images, it's images like Romans chapter 1, it's images made to look like man or reality, yeah, animals and birds, whatever, but it's not real. But yet you're having these same kind of reactions, and it's happening, you know, nonstop for the young generation. Not just young, but other generations as well.
But they are starting young. You think
very
about
young,
it.
Very young.
These gaming systems were given to teenagers at some point, but I'm seeing more and more babies and young children, yeah, toddlers, being given these electronic devices and games as a form of babysitting. And a parent may not know that it's actually fueling something where a child can't survive without having a YouTube thing.
Well, I know one of my grandsons, he asked me one time, he was talking about he wanted a telephone, on a phone, he wanted the portable phone or whatever. And I said, you want a phone? And I'm like, yeah, you want, I'll tell you what, I'll get you a phone, and it'll be one that you can use for long distance.
Oh, okay.
And so what it was, it was a dial-up phone with about a 25-foot cord he can plug into the wall.
Oh, man, you took my thing. I offered the same thing.
He wasn't happy about it. It's like, it's a phone. But the reality is they're not wanting a phone. They're wanting all the world that can come over that phone.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do when the world can meet your child in their bedroom over a phone device, a mobile device? I mean, how do you handle that, right?
Yeah. Well, think about it. Years ago, when I was a young man, right, we had the opportunity to get in trouble. We would have to leave our parents' safety, go to where they told us not to go to meet somebody, and get into trouble. Well, there was some time and distance in between that act.
Right.
Today's young person has a few seconds before they can get from not in danger to into serious trouble. And so it's something that needs to be, you know, navigated and definitely coached and taught on.
So Andy Crouch, talk to us about
Andy Crouch. Andy Crouch just wrote a new book. It's called The Tech Wise Family. In fact, we have a cover here for you. Everyday Steps for Putting Technology in Its Proper Place. Mm. I mean, you say this all the time where, you know, God doesn't mind you having technology, but he minds technology having you, right?
Right, right.
So listen, let's go to Andy Crouch right now as he's being interviewed from someone in Barna as they talk about this book and some wisdom that you could use in your everyday life. Take a look.
Almost two-thirds of those parents, when you drill down and ask them why, say because of the omnipresence of technology. But what really makes it hard is we're the first ones to have to deal with it. We can't go to the wisdom of previous generations. There is no inherited cultural tradition. Even in the most expansive definition of technology, we're only 200 years into this story out of thousands and thousands of years of the human race. In many ways, we're 20 years into the real effect of technology kind of in all of its ramifications. And so we are all just figuring this out as we go along. And of course, young people, children, youth, young adults are really facile with this. They figure it out very quickly. Adults often just aren't motivated to figure it out, are sometimes a little slower. And so you also have this kind of turning upside down of expertise, where parents used to be the experts on the world. They knew how to operate in the world, and they could teach their children that. They're better technically, but they actually, just like all the generations, are absolutely adrift in how we actually manage this in a way that's healthy. None of us know how to do this. We all need help. And so actually, I think this is not just a parenting problem or a family problem. It's a human problem. And the kids, by the way, when we ask kids, what do you wish was or most wish was different in your relationship with your parents? Their number one answer is, I wish my parents would get off their screens and talk to me.
Share a little bit of some of the things in the book that you've done to help guide parents. Because what I felt when I was reading it was, this is really more about spiritual direction.
Yes.
More than it is, here's tips and tricks for keeping your kids safe from the internet.
Yeah, our power, I think, actually, and our role as parents is to set deep commitments in place in our family that actually show our kids what we believe real life is about. And so the book starts with that. You know, the deepest thing family should be for is the formation of persons, mm-hmm. persons of wisdom and courage. I actually think the greatest threat technology offers to our family is that it promises to make life easy, mm-hmm. when actually life in the family, in a way, is meant to be hard. So the very foundation of the book is not, how do we handle this or that app or even this or that device? It's how do we make our family a place where everybody knows what we're about is pursuing wisdom and courage together. In the book, I talk about two things that are just never going to change for human beings, and that's space and time. So time goes all the way back to the commandment of Sabbath. God's people were commanded to actually have this rhythm of work and rest. Now, our new devices say, oh, you don't have to rest anymore. You can work anytime, anywhere. But if you have a Sabbath mindset, you realize that's very dangerous spiritually. And it does not seem that it's what God made us for. God made us for a rhythm of work and rest. So we actually, in our family, have structured time. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 to 2 weeks a year, we basically turn everything off. So the other thing we've done is we've realized we're human beings. You know, what's the oldest truth about human beings? We're created in bodies. We're made out of the dust. We're made of physical stuff. And something about that is essential to our human nature. We're not just brains. We're not just minds. We're not even just souls or spirits. We're actually in a body. And so bodies move through space. And the way you shape the space of your home really matters. So what our family... what my wife and I decided to do when the kids were very small, we said, we're going to put all the sort of glowing things, all the glowing rectangles, at the very edges of our house. They are not going to be at the center of our house. And if you come to our home and walk in our first floor to the kind of heart of the home where we spent most of our time as a family, there's almost nothing technological visible. And that's totally intentional. The TV is way downstairs. It's in the basement. We can go there if we want to watch something, but it's not at the heart of the house. The various screens are kept at the edge. And instead, we've filled the center of the home, the space where we spend the most time, with things that actually require embodied engagement. One of the really scary things we found out in the research is the great majority of teenagers, and we all know this, take their phones to bed with them. The problem is, you need to be a healthy human embodied creature. You need, especially in your teen years, 8 to 9 hours of total rest. So, you know, one of the things we say, say in the book is a rule our house has is our devices go to bed before we do and we wake up before they do. So rather than going to bed with it and then waking up, rolling over, you know, swipe to see what's new, we put our devices to bed in this little docking station in the kitchen, and we all go to our bedrooms, and we have this beautiful, blissful time where we're not acting like a device. The device can keep gathering email. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to rest from that. And you need to help your kids have that discipline, I think.
This is so wise. As a matter of fact, in my book, I Will Fight, you can get your free copy. I talk specifically about how important it is to reboot your mind. You go to vfnkb.com and get the book. Get his book, too. I want you to see it one more time on the screen. The Tech Wise Family, Everyday Steps to Putting Technology in Its Proper Place. And I like how he talks about we have two things we've got to focus on, time and space. That's so beautiful because our bodies exist. Listen, what are your thoughts on this? I encourage you to get the book, but comment below and write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. How is technology impacting your family? And, you know, in its right place, hey, it's great. But if it takes over your family, if Silicon Valley knows more about your family than you do, that's called division that's taking place in the family. And I just want to encourage you to begin to think about it. Make it this book, begin to think about it. If you're beginning a family, now's the time to start. Because once you kick it in, it's hard to undo that thing right there. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray right now over the families that are watching and listening, Father God, that you would encourage and give them wisdom, Father God, about how to manage this their family in this tech-wise world. Lord, and I pray also for those that are out there, Father God, like we talked earlier about Charlie Kirk, Father God, that they have bold stance for you, Father God, that you would give us all a bold testimony, God. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation.
that stand with us prayerfully and financially. Let's just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.